Now, Mark Brenne, Fax 1070.
Back in the 1940s, a group of people with mental illness started We Are Not Alone. It was a place to go to feel like they belonged. With the help of some people with a lot of money, they developed Fountain House, which is an organization that would go on to help them recover by giving them an opportunity to actively work, learn, and live together. They knew what they needed to live a full life, but in that era, at that time, the idea of consumers of mental health services founding and running a self-help organization obviously was not on the radar. It is now, and it could be coming to Victoria. Let's talk about this. Our guest, Jackie Powell, who's chair of Connections Place Society. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Also on the telephone line is Jonathan Beard. He's a Washington State licensed independent clinical social worker who's the son of the director of the original movement from the 1940s called We Are Not Alone. Hi, Jonathan. I'll throw this one out to you first, Jonathan. There are now 300 plus clubhouses modeled after the original Fountain House in NYC in New York City. Give us a little bit of the history behind this clubhouse model.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And, you know, briefly, I think we could summarize it this way. In the 1940s, when people were leaving psychiatric hospitals, there was little to no services in the community to provide for them. And I'm just starting with basics like, you know, seeing a doctor, perhaps having a therapist. They were essentially just discharged from the hospital. And so this group of patients that used to meet on the steps of the New York Public Library, they knew then, I guess what a lot of us know now, that they're going to do better together than they would alone and in isolation. So they started hanging out together and doing some social and recreational things together and helping each other find things like housing, or if you had a toothache, let's get you to a dentist, and, you know, similar kinds of things that people need not just to survive in the community, but to thrive in the community. And as you shared in your introduction, that caught the attention of a couple of philanthropically inclined individuals who said, well, we got to get you into a place. You can't hang out on the steps of the library, you know, in the dead of winter. So they found a building on the Upper West Side of New York City, and in the backyard was a fountain, and they decided to call it Fountain House. And for about 7 or 8 years, it was run entirely by ex-psychiatric patients, as they were known back in the day, in other words, people that had been discharged from state hospitals. And they were essentially a self-help, mutual help organization and attracting some attention. Membership was growing. And after a little while, they realized that something was missing, and that was having access to paid employment, which is so critical to our self-identity and self-esteem. And they discovered a young social worker in Detroit, Michigan, who was taking people from the state hospital and helping them get started in community living, including working in a grocery store. And there was a story about that in the Detroit paper, and the wire service picked it up, and people at Fountain House read about that and said, this is someone we need to talk to. And I'm proud to say that that individual was my father, who was subsequently hired as executive director at Fountain House from 55 until his very untimely and premature death in 1982. In those intervening years, Fountain House's employment programs grew along with the pre-existing social, recreational, and day activity programs that make up a clubhouse, attracted a lot of attention, initially just within the United States. Then I think a couple of clubhouses were established internationally in Stockholm, Sweden, and also in Lahore, Pakistan. Those were two of the first international clubhouses. They're now in some 30 countries around the world. And including, I believe, several of the provinces in Canada, including right there in British Columbia. So that's a quick little snapshot history.
Yeah, I did a piece on this a few months ago. I recall this, and I remember wondering, wow, of all places, Lahore, Pakistan, for one to open up. You don't normally would associate that sort of thing there. Jackie Powell, you're with the Connections Place Society. Give us the connection to Victoria. Can this happen here in Victoria?
Well, I believe it can. If it can happen in Richmond, if it can happen in Pakistan, it can happen here. We need it. I think it would be a great addition to the services we have in our community. I have a son with a mental illness. I see a dire need for that for folks like my son to get back into life. I learned about this from a neighbor who told me about his brother who has a mental illness attending a clubhouse in Winnipeg and how much it helped him. This is about 4 years ago, so it really piqued my interest, and I started digging, and I found out about the Pathways Clubhouse in Richmond. I visited there in 2014, and it's been nonstop since.
And what brings your son back again and again? What does he get of it?
Well, what happens is when somebody's had a mental illness, a serious mental illness, and they're in hospital, you really do lose touch with the community, with your friends, in many cases your family, employment, education, basically life. You kind of drop out of life. And I had a heck of a time getting him back into life, and I actually succeeded. I got him into a work position, paid position, at a hardware store, and because he had no employment support, he fell through the cracks again. He was so capable, so willing, so knowledgeable, so everything, over the top, wanting to please. He just did too much. And so it brought him down again big time, and it brought him... It took a year for this to happen, but he just left hospital a few weeks ago from a two-month hospital stay. Yeah, so now we're sort of back to scratch again, back to square one. And if we had that clubhouse here, Connections Place, I wouldn't be scratching my head wondering, okay, what do I do here? I would contact the clubhouse. He would be in the clubhouse already, getting back into life.
Sounds like it is very necessary here. Our guest, Jackie Powell, chair of the Connections Place Society, and also Jonathan Beard, who joins us from Seattle. He's a Washington State licensed independent clinical social worker, and obviously very well to do on his own as far as his abilities to help others. He's worked in New Jersey, Texas, North Carolina, and in Washington State in nonprofits and public sector settings. Next Monday at the Eric Martin Pavilion Theater, that's on 4th Street, the 900 block of 4th Street, they are screening a film. It's called West 47th Street. It's an award-winning film. It's all about the introduction to New York City to a place called Fountain House and the Clubhouse International. This is all about where people in need can go to help themselves. They can work there, seek skills there, and learn to live with each other there and succeed in life. Education, housing, a sense of purpose, and belonging. A lot of people need that. And right now, the way things are going in this world, especially with governments slashing funding left, right, and center, they've got to do it on their own. One of the guests at that night's screening, Movie Monday, this is again is next Monday on 4th Street, is Jonathan Beard, whose father was one of the original people involved in this. In fact, in 1955, he was the director of Fountain House in New York City. Jonathan Beard joins us right now from Seattle, as well, Jackie Powell, who's the chair of the Connections Place Society. Jackie, back to you. Have you heard anything about what the latest is about actually setting one of these clubhouses up here in Victoria? Because it seems to me a few months ago there were a lot of talks about it. I haven't heard much since.
Well, it's up to the community. It's up to Connections Place, and we are doing a great job. We have a sold-out event on May 11th at the Point at Uptown. We have growing support. We have Saanich Legacy Foundation has raised $2,200 through the Fred Talks event in November. We've also received a grant of $1,600 from the District of Saanich and $24,000 gratefully received from the 100 plus women who care in Victoria. So all the proceeds from the dinner on the 11th are going to be coming our way. Uptown has graciously paying for the entire event, and we're so grateful. It's going to be an amazing event. Jonathan Beard is going to be joining us too. So that's where we're at. We're gaining the momentum, and it's growing. I'm very happy to say it's really growing well.
This event, Rebuilding Lives with Connections Fundraising Dinner, is a week from tonight, Thursday, May 11th at 5:30, and it's at Uptown at the Point. Jonathan, how much money would be involved? Your father was, I guess money changes since 1955, obviously, but what kind of money would be needed to create a clubhouse here in Victoria?
That's a tough call because, you know, obviously we're talking cross borders. I can tell you from my own history of working in clubhouses, and I'll be talking in U.S. dollars, so I'm not, you know, hip on what the conversion rate may be now, you know, again, moving cross-border. The two clubhouses that I directed in North Carolina, we had budgets of around $500,000 to $600,000, employing close to 8 to perhaps as many as 10 people. Pretty lean, you know, in terms of what our overall budget was, and part of the advantage of that is so much of the work of the clubhouse is shared with the members of the clubhouse. So we're working, you know, as staff side by side with members in keeping the clubhouse going and running, and that's one of the ways we help people to sort of step outside themselves and begin doing something different than just being alone with their symptoms. And at that kind of funding level, you can serve probably about 50 to 60 people a day. So a little less money would mean you'd serve fewer people per day. A little more money, you could serve more people per day.
Did you get much government help, or was it mostly philanthropic?
I think it was really a mix, and I think that's certainly true in clubhouses here in Washington State and elsewhere in the United States. Part of what is, I think, hopefully improving the situation is that there's been significant research into the clubhouse model and its proven outcome. Outcomes are really important in terms of where healthcare is going because we want to make wiser investments with our healthcare dollars. So what Clubhouse has been able to demonstrate in repeated randomized controlled trials, which is the gold standard for research, is that they divert people from unnecessary hospitalization. So let's just talk that number for just a moment. Let's say it costs, I'm just going to pick a number, $500 a day for someone to be maintained in a state, a governmental, or a private psychiatric hospital. Most clubhouses can serve anywhere between 25 people for that same amount. So you have to start thinking about if we can keep people from hospital by involving them in a clubhouse, and we can do so at significant savings. This is not just the right thing to do in terms of a good deed, it's also a good deal. And so that's part of the advocacy and the fundraising I think that clubhouses are undertaking with local and state as well as federal government. Hey, this thing works. You can save money by investing in this way of working. And I'm sure that's exactly what Connections Place will be doing as it establishes itself.
You make sense. I'm picking up what you're putting down. But Jackie, I note that in reading up on this topic, Island Health has not thrown in its support. It's been very reluctant to commit any sponsorship or funding for this facility. I don't understand why that is. Can you, has Island Health told you why it doesn't want to get involved?
No, they haven't. And I was engaged with Island Health for several years. Been there, done that, and I just have to move forward. And I just use our mentor as an example, the Pathways Clubhouse. They do get funding from their health authority. I think it's about $1.3 million, and then the same amount they fundraise, approximately the same amount. And they have achieved a societal return on investment of 14 to 1. So that means for every $1 invested in their clubhouse, they save society $14 by reduced hospitalizations and reduced police interactions. It's a great deal, as Jonathan said. It's not just, it's a humanitarian project, but it also just makes sense for the taxpayer too. People are needed and wanted, and they find work eventually, employment, they make connections, they have a life to get back into, and so that keeps people healthy and away from needing those emergency services. I should mention also that Pathways Clubhouse in Richmond was named one of the top impact charities of Canada in just last year in November. That's quite an achievement. That was the only mental health related charity that was recognized in all of Canada. I should mention there's a total of 18 clubhouses in Canada. Prince Edward Island has 3. Most major cities across Canada do have one.
Not Victoria.
But not Victoria.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We'll keep working on it. I appreciate the time that you, each of you has taken to spend with us and give us some insight into this. 2 events coming up. First of all, Monday night, the movie about Fountain House called West 47th Street. It's taking place over on Fort Street. That's at Movie Mondays. That's at 6:30, May 8th. Special guest will be one of our guests right now, Jonathan Beard, the son of Fountain House director John Beard. Jonathan also will be in town for a dinner on May 11th, next week, and that's taking place at the Uptown at the Point, which is just above Best Buy over in Uptown. And all the money goes to Connections Place, and hopefully some of this will help spur on a Fountain House for here, a clubhouse for Victoria. Thank you to both of our guests, to each of you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Mark.